Well, welcome again to South Carolina Sunday Service on this beautiful morning here in South Carolina. And welcome to those online as well. You guys watch the news? Nightly news? Local news? Anything like that? Not really. On occasion, you know, I'll throw it on, I'll watch it. I mean, they got the world news, they got the national news, they got the local news, they got all kinds of news. One thing I've noticed is if you watch the news, there isn't really a lot of good news, is there? And I'd say, I don't know, if you watch 99 news stories, they might throw in one that was a good one. What was that, Paul? If it bleeds, it leads. So the more horrific the story, front and center is where they're going to put it. For those of you that might be a little bit older than I am, I got a question. Does it seem like when you do watch the news that it's worse in the world today than it was years ago? No, I got, it's both worse and there's less people that actually give a crap.
If they even know.
Most of them don't even know or don't care. I mean, for me, you know, I'm older than some, younger than others, but I know that years ago, didn't seem like there was as much just evil nonsense going on that was touted and shown on the news. If you think for a minute, you look at, you know, the segment that's called the national news. Right, that's about the United States and right around here. And we've talked about this before. I mean, the United States claims or has been said that it's the Christian nation. I mean, if that's the case, why are we seeing this stuff on the news? Why are people doing these things to each other? Linda says, we've lost the saltiness. Right? And when that salt has lost his savor, it's to be cast out. Trodden under the foot. You look at the local news. Well, maybe you'll be better closer to home, right? I live in this community. I'm walking around here. Boy, it can't be as bad as it is on the national level. You got all them yahoos out in Los Angeles and, you know, New York City and all these strange places. You look at the local news, it's no different. It's no different at all. If anything, I mean, you can watch any one of these news feeds, you know, national, local, world. It's all showing you the same thing. Showing you unbelief. Showing you evil. Horrific things. Why is that happening? We've brought up a couple of things. I mean, you've got so-called Christian ministers. You've got so-called mega church Christian churches. You got all of these folks that are claiming Christ, but not, from what I can see, not but any, maybe a couple, that actually walk in it. It's a sad thing. Doesn't look good. Do you want that to change? Do you want to start seeing something different? I got a couple amens. Because a couple's better than none. I'll tell you, I want to see something different. I want something better. How do we make that happen? Christ is the way that that happens. There is yet hope. If you turn back to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. I think I'm at chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's an if-then statement. If you do this, He will do that. And if I believe the Word, and I know that He's righteous, truthful, the same yesterday, today, and forever, I know that there's a failure on the if part of that statement. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Christians, those are the people that are called by His name. You need to humble yourselves, pray, and seek His face. Turn from your wicked ways, and He will hear. He will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's a simple thing. It's hard, in a sense, because so many folks want to hold on to their lives. They want to hold on to this world. They don't want to let go that which is corrupt, and it's dragging them to hell. And you can see it on the nightly news. It's right there for everybody to see. But if you humble yourself, pray, and seek His face, turn from your wicked ways, then you can start to see change. You can start to see change in your life, in your household, in your neighborhood, as folks start to see Christ through you. They can come to that knowledge. Local communities can change. That corruption can be pushed back. Not only locally, not on the state, nationally, worldly. All over the world, there is no limit. But it starts with you.
Well, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing today?
Great. Happy to be here.
Oh, praise the Lord. Now, Scott, you were, and it was beautiful because some of the things that you're talking about, because it's been kind of some of the thing that's been on my mind, I tell you what, all week long. And what I'm seeing is the how-to. Is the how-to, is what I'm... Closer? All right. What I'm getting is the how-to. How do we get there? How do you want to be that body that brings that truth to others so that others can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Now, it's an interesting thing. As Davey just was here and he showed me an example of something, and I don't know if he even recognized that he showed me an example, but he sure did. He sure did. And one of the things that happened was, I remember it was the last night that I actually got to see him. And Lisa, you were there. We were up at the place over there, at our place. And at that time, it was just a beautiful moment. It was like everybody was of the same mind and fellowship, and it was a good time. And I tell you, what expired before that was, I know there was some, let me put it this way, some correction first. I know some correction came down towards Lisa's way. I know some correction in question form came my way. And I tell you, it wasn't like, oh, I got corrected. No, it wasn't that at all. It was like, praise God, thank you. You know, praise God, thank you. Now I see. And then I went and I talked to Steve the next day. And guess what? Shine the light on more of that. And how this is supposed to operate. But what we have here, we are supposed to be a body that is moving forward, taking ground for Jesus Christ. But what we really are is so far from that. So far from that, it's not even funny. The truth be told. The truth be told. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there one bit. But it all comes down to one thing. And Davey talked a little bit about it last week. Doing your own thing. Being about your own business. And being just prideful in your own way. And some of you might sit there and ask us, say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, look, let's look at it. As we come to fellowship and as we come together, are we of the same mind? In Christ? Or do we all have our own opinions? We have all our own agendas. And we have our own high-mindedness that we stick to, that we think we know better than the next guy. Quite frankly, I see that to be the case way too oft. Way too oft. You know, if I, and I just take my work as an example, you can take the Army as an example, but my work kind of works like in the Army, and I have a closer knowledge of just how my workplace can go than I do of the Army because I've never been there. But you have that set up, that line of authority that is set up there at my workplace. Now, when everybody comes under obedience unto that line of authority and goes and agrees with the next person up to go forward and taking care of the customer, and they all have that same mind that the most important thing is to take care of the customer. What ends up happening is that store rock and rolls. You're talking sets of tires coming out in 10 minutes. And done right. Okay, but when everybody has their own agenda and they think they know better than the next, what ends up happening is absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. And it doesn't work and it's good for nothing. And I gotta group everybody back up and start bringing things that count. What are you doing? Didn't so and so tell you to do that? Yes. Why didn't you do that? Because I thought this was a better way. Of course they won't say that. But in many words, that's what they say. Well, I didn't tell you to go do what you thought was best. I told you to go and serve him. He's been here longer. He knows better. Serve him. And if he messes up, that's on him, not on you. Now I'm tearing into you because you're not doing what you're told. That's how that works. And that's love. Thank you, Paul. But as we come together, as we come into obedience unto Him, are you one of those that says, yes, sir, no problem? And submits unto the Lord, serving that which is over you, that person which is over you? Because let's not be mistaken, it's not about the man, it's about the Lord and His way. His way. Not your own. And do you think the Lord is not big enough if that man over you is wrong that He's not going to honor your obedience unto Him? I tell you, yes, He will, because He's good, He's faithful, and He says what He says He's going to do, He's going to do. Okay, and that comes down to, do you really believe God? Do you really trust God? Do you really want to move forward as His body or not? That's what it comes down to. Because you can say that till you're blue in the face, but until you actually perform that, it's all in vain. Means nothing at all. Nothing. Children, do you obey your parents? Wives, do you submit unto your husbands? Husbands, do you submit unto your masters? Do you submit unto those that have rule over you? Do all of you do? Do any of you do? Or do y'all take that advice and you go and you calculate it to see if yourself and you yourself judge it to see if it's right or wrong? Now, if it's contrary to Scripture, I say don't do it at all. That's not what I'm saying. But if you really trust the Lord and believe Him, like we ought to believe Him, as Abraham did, as Jacob did, as Joseph did, then you're going to do what He says. And you're going to go about aligning yourself in that line of authority that God has set. That the Lord has set. Then you're going to start seeing the Lord move. Do you think for a second when the children of Israel went to the walls of Jericho, and they went about doing their own thing, they didn't listen to a thing that Joshua said, do you think those walls would have came down? No, it wouldn't have. I tell you that right now. Been wandering still around in that desert. Wandering still around that desert. But see, we need to move from where that first generation is into where the second generation is if you want to see the Lord move. If you want to see the Lord move. That's what it will take. That's what it will take. And right now, as a body, where we're at, we're just like that first generation, folks. Let's not be mistaken here. That's where we're at. I tell you what. Who are you going to serve this day? I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and go about His way. Because I know He will move mightily. He has shown me that time and time and time again. Do you want to be a part of that body? We sang that song, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? In Romans, it talks about following after the Spirit, not after the flesh. If you're following after the flesh and your own vanity and your carnal mind, doing your own thing, your own agenda, what makes you think you're free in Him at all? You're not. That's a presumption. That's a presumption. But the time is at hand, folks. I tell you what, just that little moment that I had, that little time with Davey that I had, and just that last night was a shining example of what this body could become. And I know that things will move mightily if we can just humble ourselves, repent before the Lord, and come unto obedience and submission unto Him. And quite frankly, y'all have that opportunity every day, every day, to do that. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? We know the Lord's faithful. We shouldn't have to doubt that. He showed Himself time and time and time again. We know His Word's true. We've seen that. He showed us time and time and time again. Now, who are you going to believe and who are you going to serve this day? Because I tell you, when the group comes together and come of that same mind, you're going to see some changes. You're going to see that change that Scott was talking about. In your life, in your workplace, in your home, when you go out, it's going to be evident. It's going to be evident. And those that would not have it will fall away. Will fall away. Pick a side, folks. Let's start getting serious about the Lord. Let's really start to choose to trust and believe Him at every wind, at every situation, through your daily lives. And watch Him move. Watch that change occur. Like I said, Scott, I don't know about you guys, but I want to see a change. Amen? So let's choose the one that can change it. Amen?
Good morning, everybody. So I'm sitting here, you know, listening, and where I'd been meditating this morning in the Word. The country, one of the things about the country is that the Christians in it are eat up with religious spirit. They're confident in their own judgments, value their opinions too highly. And it's a shame because 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a plan that was given to people who had a relationship at some point, to some degree, with the Father. An opportunity for them to get it right again. At least the Father had offered them that relationship. They may or may not have partaken of it. But the offer's there. John chapter 3. Verse 2. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And I know that's not exactly what it says, but I wanted to name him. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except that thou doest except God be with him. So, you know, we've made a judgment and we're confident in that judgment. And then Jesus proceeds to hit him between the running lights. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. That's a place of humility. That's a place of repentance. That's a place of having no confidence in your own ability to please God. That's what the whole revelation of Scripture is about, is to show us, by Jesus' example, how that's done. What kind of spirit we operate under, whether there is humility, devotion, diligence, expectation. That's all should be wrapped up in here. Let's go to John chapter 8. Some long back and forth between Jesus and the Pharisees, those of religious substance, quite confident in their judgments. Let's see where I'm going to start. 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That is a bold truth. It's unfortunately not that true of us. Well, you know, Jesus can know what pleases him because, like, Jesus is connected with him all the time. Yeah, and who are you connected to? It's not unknowable. Okay, let's go to the next verse. He spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him. Okay, this is a good thing, right? They've heard him. They've received his word. And they have believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Okay. What is the church like today? Church is like today, well, we're about appropriating all these things that are descriptions of the relationship the apostles have with the Father and with Jesus Christ. what separates the apostles and prophets from the rest of us? They have already made their decision. They made the decision in the first earth. They chose God. Now here they are again. So it looks like once saved, always saved when you're looking at apostles, doesn't it? Not true. And here's one of those condition statements. That religious spirit that acclaims, it takes promises that are not for them. Just because you take it doesn't mean you're going to get it. So then God's unrighteous, right? Somehow I managed to lose the one scripture that I wanted to insert here. Noah, there it is. 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You're not just a disciple because you wish you could be. You're a disciple when you continue in His Word. You diligently seek His Word. You diligently seek. What's Hebrews saying? Huh? You must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. Or you can't please Him. It doesn't work. You have nothing on which to base a relationship with someone you don't believe He is, who He says He is, and He's rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now their inability to see spiritual things becomes quite evident, not just in all the other places where He has these exchanges with Him. That statement's a real offense to them. So He explains it. Next verse. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They not only didn't have any discernment or any vision as to spiritual things, they were delusional about what was actually happening in front of them. A centurion standing around there? No, we're not in bondage to anybody. Come on. Duh. Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. That's the connection between you being free, the disconnection, I should say, between you being free and being the servant of the devil. Sin, therefore, rules you. You don't have any choice at this point. That's the bondage. The Son came to set you free from that bondage. When you get set free from this bondage, I tell you what, if everybody in this room was set free from that bondage and received His grace and mercy and started walking in it, this place would be crazy. We'd have people lined up outside. want to see what was going on here. Now, we were walking it. If we were acting like we believed it, it wouldn't look like this. The Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. So Jesus doesn't let up. I think he might mean that. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Of course, they haven't announced this in the narrative yet. But, at least, you know, not with the same kind of over and over again, it starts happening after chapter 13. It starts happening pretty regular. Because my word hath no place in you. What did he just say about if you're going to be my disciples, you'll continue in my word? He's telling them here, you're not my disciples. You have no discernment. You have no judgment. You have nothing with which to operate into the kingdom. You're totally worthless. And you're rejecting the one that sent to set you free and give you reconciliation with the Father. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Uh-oh. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? He believed, and it was imputed to him as righteousness. He got God's righteousness. That's all that mattered. He didn't reject what for Abraham was the coming one. The same gospel at work in Abraham before the law. God will provide our sacrifice. When he said that with Isaac up on the altar, going up to the altar, that was the gospel. God will provide the ram. Jesus Christ hasn't changed. It was the same gospel in the garden. Man, y'all need to dedicate yourself to determining whether you can find a place of repentance or not. The place is in Jesus Christ. It's His to work and to will and to do of His good pleasure in us. He has offered the sacrifice. Receive the sacrifice. Be pleased to repent, seek His face, and serve Him. I'm done.